This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Do you say and do things when drinking that you regret the next day? Is alcohol a problem for you or someone you really care about? Over the next hour, we'll find out how people just like you and me found sobriety in AA through sharing their experience, strength and hope. Welcome to AA Live, brought to you by Alcoholics Anonymous.
Welcome, kia ora, te whanau. This is the AA Live radio show tonight. Wonderful to have you joining us out there, listeners. We really appreciate you. Hey, this show, we explore the ideas behind a way of recovery through the Alcoholics Anonymous program. And tonight, my co-host has come back. I am so pleased to see you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah.
Don't be too excited. What's been happening?
I'm learning Spanish, is what's been happening.
Oh, can you say hello to everybody?
Hola.
Ah, hola. Even my son can do that one. In fact, on, Halloween, we were going to, my son was going to answer the door and speak in Spanish and ask for a trick, but nobody came. So, yeah. Hey, it's been a while, and I'm glad to see you. It's lovely. Now, even though, do you know what? We never see each other outside of the studio. It's really quite bizarre, isn't it? We live in the same town. We go to meetings, but we don't go to the same meetings. I always find that quite fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not a very big town either.
No, it's not a big town. Yeah, true. Okay, let's start with that serenity prayer, shall we? You go with it. Tell me the serenity prayer tonight.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Wonderful. Thank you. That's actually the third time I've said that today already. And we're going to go into the preamble.
Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other so that they can solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Are you hungry, Sean?
Am I hungry?
I thought I heard your stomach rumble then.
I don't think so.
We're in these new studios, and honestly, I tell you, it's pretty amazing, the sound in here. Hey, I just want to let you know that any of the opinions you hear this evening, they are just ours, nobody else's, not that of Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole. It's just a couple of alcoholics in recovery having a chat and talking about it and giving you some bits and pieces. Now, we have got a daily reflection today about a common solution, and my trusty sidekick, go for it.
A common solution. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we've discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree, and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. That's from page 17 of Alcoholics Anonymous. The most far-reaching 12-step work was the publication of our big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Few can equal that book for carrying the message. My idea is to get out of myself and simply do what I can. Even if I haven't been asked to sponsor and my phone rarely rings, I'm still able to do the 12-step work. I get involved in brotherly and harmonious action. At meetings, I show up early to greet people and help set up and to share my experience, strength, and hope. I also do what I can with service work. My higher power gives me exactly what he wants me to do at any given point in my recovery. And if I let him, my willingness will bring 12-step work automatically.
Thank you. Do you find that happens for you?
Yeah. I mean, I do like the whole service thing. I find, you know, with regards to just sort of life in general, to be honest, you know, not specifically just with alcoholics, but just service in general is always a good thing that sort of keeps me grounded. And yeah, I do. That is a part of my daily
part of your life.
Yeah.
I had a person today actually somebody who has swept into my life in the last couple of weeks, and we were chatting today about recovery, and yeah, I'm always amazed at how my higher power works and just brings these people in who I can help only due to my experience. Like, I'm sure there's a heck of a lot of people out there that I wouldn't even think of because our experience is different. I find these days that the people that do come into my life, I can actually see the reason in which they do rather than just randoms. I don't know if that's because I'm looking for it or you know, that there's certain things that I use these days to help people. And you think of that as well?
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that because, I mean, my daughter and I were just talking about that the other day, and it's not so much people, you know, and their impact on my life, but it's more situations happen, everything happening for a reason, you know?
Yes.
And it's just been really sort of evident recently with my daughter and I. It's been a sort of a recurring theme that just keeps coming up, and it's been really she's the one that mentioned it, actually. She's the one that sort of brought it up. And the more things kind of kept happening that reinforced it, the more I was, you know, it was just sort of eye-opening, you know, that, yeah, I do believe that things happen for a reason. And I think it's good to be open to that. And because a lot of the things, and, you know, it's stuff that maybe not that good. It's going, like, for example, I mean, my daughter was just recently in the hospital, and you know, you look on that as a negative thing, obviously, but then there was also sort of positive repercussions of that, you know, and it was cool that she saw that and brought it to my attention. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's his Batman call. But he did tell me that he wasn't going to be doing his Batman while we were on the radio.
I swear it was off. Honestly. I don't know how that went back on.
They don't do a bat light in his world. They just do the phone, the sounding of the call. That's it.
Mm.
So things just happened for, even though she was in that position in the hospital, things resulted from that were more positive?
Yeah. It was specifically, relationships with other people that were involved, and it kind of brought people together, you know, and it was a real negative experience in general, but then it also, in hindsight, looking back on it, it brought some people together that was really a positive thing, you know, and when it was happening, when she was sitting there in the hospital and everything was a bit stressful and everything, you weren't really thinking of it, but then a couple of days later when we were talking about it, we realized, yeah, well, there was a sort of a silver lining to that cloud, and it was real good, actually, you know?
So, yeah. I'm sorry that she's been in that position. That's awful.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
She's all better now. It was just like a 24-hour whirlwind in the hospital. And so, yeah.
They tend to be with the children, don't they? It tends to, it's a frightening thing.
When I say children, she's 22 now. So.
Oh! But she'll always be your baby.
I know. That was the hardest thing because she was in an awful lot of pain, and it was really tough to see her, you know, like that. But yeah, it again, that was sort of the last in a series of events that's happened, and this is with my older daughter, and it's just been a real, she's just teaching me stuff, and it's really, really good. I'm lapping it up, and I'm really enjoying it, and seeing her wisdom, you know, getting the wisdom from my daughter, you know, it's just a.
Well, that's the lovely part, isn't it? Because they have experiences that we don't, and we can learn from them.
Yeah,
and that's,
for sure.
Yeah, I think
I agree.
There are times when, as parents, we must be open to that, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think it's really easy to sort of say, I'm the parent, I know the best, you know?
And, correct.
And there's so, like you say, there's a lot that we can learn.
Absolutely. My son teaches me things all the time, and I'm incredibly grateful for it. You are listening to the AA Live Show in association with our friends from Otago Access Radio on 105.4 FM. We're going to have a track now that has been brought in. It's called, no, the band is called Sugar. That's where I'm going. So have a listen to this, and hopefully she goes well. Oh, now that woke us up. Thank you for that. Good little bit of getting in there. Hey, I know last month I talked a little bit about this, folks, but Christmas and New Year period, it's almost on top of us. You know, we've got the work functions, the weddings, the friend catch-ups, the family holidays, the Christmas day, who's bringing the ham, what's with the turkey, who's got the salads. What present buying for, you know, Auntie Mavis and Uncle Bill and Ma and Pa? Where's the money coming from? What credit card? Have I got a credit card? When can I drink through all of this? Oh my gosh, the family dinner, I better not get drunk. There's just so many things that can happen in this short time. You know, it encompasses in that month of December and then maybe a week after. And lots of things can happen, and one of the things that we want to work with today is trying not to have that relapse if you are already on the journey. So, yeah, I remember my Christmases. Like, my family haven't been together for a long time, and I've had a lot of Christmases on my own or with friends. We always had an orphan's Christmas. And that basically meant getting together on Christmas morning and starting very early in the day, any excuse, with vodka and tomato juice, you know, and we were being healthy with vegetables as far as we were concerned.
And, potatoes and tomatoes?
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, then there'd be bubbles and then it just all went and maybe something was cooked. And if it was, it was under, you know, pretty dodgy looking state of us in the kitchen, and occasionally someone would have to get up and leave and attend their family Christmas dinner, something they weren't looking forward to, and they'd be tripping the way down there to do that. I remember there being a lot of, for myself, a bit of loneliness, a bit of this time again, it's always in my face about families being together and all that sort of thing. And it would make me feel quite separate from the all of them.
Right.
What about you, Sean? Did you, just whiz bang through Christmas and New Year's like you'd normally do with life?
Well, Christmas, my family doesn't really celebrate Christmas, to be honest with you. So it's not, it's kind of like another day for me. The thing is, I guess the bigger thing would be like, work due, Christmas work due and stuff like that.
Exactly.
And I think I mentioned to you before, but I've got, there's a few what I would consider alcoholics in my office. And they kind of like put me off drinking, you know, every time even when I was drinking, they still put me off drinking just to see how they would, you know, a couple of them in particular would react. And I would think, man, that's not the way I want to be. So it kind of makes it a little bit easier for me. Just, you know, when you're seeing someone acting really foolish, it's easier not to want to do that yourself, you know?
Oh, look, being from accounting background myself, hospitality background, I have seen some pretty crazy stuff and, yeah, some mad, crazy behavior. And not saying that I wasn't in that mad, crazy behavior, because I myself have that side of things.
Yeah.
But yeah, the holiday and party season, it's meant to be a fun, joyous occasion. It brings your family and your friends together, your workmates.
Yeah.
Often it can be moments of stress and anxiety, though. Right. So, you know, when you're in recovery as well, I remember my first Christmas in this recovery being it was very, very different than previous Christmases. You know, the broad spectrum of holiday emotions and what am I going to do? It was challenging, you know. And the risk of relapse can run high during the holiday season and party season. And it's not inevitable. It doesn't have to end with a relapse, I suppose, is where I'm coming from. And so we've pulled together a few things today to talk with you about out there, listeners, because we don't want that to happen for you. We don't want it to happen for us. There are steps out there that you can take to stay healthy and safe, being aware of potentially triggering situations, knowing how to prepare for them, all of those things. So we've got some tips, and I'm going to pass it over to my co-host, my wonderful co-host here, to, you know, just start giving you a bit of those things, you know, because we want you to continue with your sobriety. We think it's one of the best gifts that you can give yourself through this holiday season. So have a listen to these.
Well, probably a really good thing to do is go in with your eyes wide open and have a pre-planned response. You know, if you have an idea of what you're going to do before it happens, then it's a lot easier to deal with the situation when it does happen, if you've already kind of thought it through and got a plan. And if you expect to be offered a drink, think about how you're going to respond. A simple yet firm no thank you is often enough.
And, for some.
For some, yeah, true. For some, yeah. I mean, well, that's what I was talking about, you know, with some of the people at my work. You know, that pushiness of it is a thing. And I think some people, it's more of a temptation when they get pushed and pressured. And some people, it kind of puts them off to be pressured, you know. But, you know.
Absolutely. Look, I was one of those people that would say, come on, join in. And eventually I would stop. But, yeah, I'm one of those horrors that was out there saying, you know, Yeah. Why wouldn't you drink? It's free, or exactly. Something along those lines.
Yeah, no,
it's
that's true.
Mad.
But if you try and just keep it simple, you know, like I say, just a nice no thank you, keep it simple, or I'm not drinking tonight, or I have to get an early start tomorrow morning, something like that, and give yourself an excuse, you know, or don't say a word at all. Keep a non-alcoholic drink with you during the party.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, if someone offers you a drink, you can just hold up your non-alcoholic drink and say, I've already got a drink. Thanks very much.
Yeah, I'm covered.
Or how about this one? Say yes. But I would see, you could say, I would love to have a drink. Can I get a water with lemon or maybe a Coca-Cola? Very few people.
Do you know Coca-Cola don't give a sponsorship for saying that? Do you think we should hit them up? Oh, that's alcoholic thinking.
Water and lemon or root beer. Or root beer.
A root beer. Yeah, yeah.
Very few people are going to press you for – if you have something else, they're not going to press you and say, no, it's got to be an alcoholic drink if you – you know.
That's true. That is true.
Or maybe try humor. Like when you don't need to announce your sobriety unless you want to. You know, depending on how comfortable you feel about the subject, you may just – tell the truth and be done with it. Or some humor like, no thanks, even the top shelf booze isn't tempting enough to make me throw away my sobriety.
You know? Yeah. Well, that's an interesting point too, though, that you bring up there, Sean, because some people don't actually tell their work colleagues they're on that journey.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I haven't told mine.
Yeah, right.
I think I've mentioned to you before, but alcoholism was something I sort of kept real separate from my work.
Don't we just,
you know, at work stews and stuff like that. Like I wouldn't drink at work stews cause you know, when I was drinking, I couldn't drink, you know, as soon as I started drinking, it was just, I knew where it was going to go.
Exactly.
And so when I didn't want to bring that into that environment of my work, I just knew.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't, you know, you could also do that thing where you don't, as an active alcoholic, we would have one or two and then say, right, I've got to go by, and then go home and get absolutely plastered in the privacy of my own home. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's funny how you can give yourself those rules as well. I'm not going to divulge the full being of myself to you.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's certain people that you just, you know, you behave differently around different people. And that was the way I was with my work, you know, and it was, it was a separate thing. It was my home life, really, you know. And I know some people don't kind of separate it that way, but I did, you know, I separated it.
I
would get up every day and, you know, I held down my job, and even in the worst of it, I held down my job. And,
I was the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, people wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
Well, apart from the people closer to me, but yeah, for work, no, they wouldn't have known. That was part of why I thought I was not an alcoholic. Like I could get away with it. I can control this when I need to. This will be fine. Right. But as soon as I pick up that first drink, by the second one, that's it. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Mm, it's a funny one, isn't it?
It is a funny one.
Yeah.
It is a funny one. I think the whole time I knew that about my problem. I was aware of it. I was, you know, I was definitely self-aware of that I was an alcoholic. And but I just also had that conscious decision. I don't want to bring that into my work. You know, my work was too important to me and still is too important to me. I like what I do. I didn't want that to jeopardize it, which is ironic, though, because I was sitting there jeopardizing all my personal relationships.
Yes.
You know?
And but that, you wouldn't have money if you jeopardized your working relationship. How are you going to buy it? Do you think that maybe had something to do with it?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean,
we are cunning.
Maybe. I think it was because, I think part of me was like, that was the one thing I was holding on to. You know, that was the one thing that was kind of keeping me somewhat sane, you know?
Felt like you were still functioning.
Felt like I was still functioning, exactly. Whereas, like, the rest of my life, I wasn't functioning at all.
Mm.
You know, like, it was, everything else was falling apart around me. But that was, like, a rock that was solid. And I didn't want to jeopardize that, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty out there, isn't it? Yeah. So that just goes to show we can have strategies even when we're drinking, you know, just to survive. But speaking of strategies, you know, you want to be prepared in advance, I think, for some of these things that you're going to come across on the Christmas.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And, the work do, I think you've mentioned, is a perfect example. And I think something to remember is that there's no rule saying that you must attend every party or work do or whatever, that you don't have to go to them if you're invited. Yeah. You are able to say thanks but no and have a reason, an excuse, whatever you fancy. You know, your sobriety, your stability, they're far more valuable than one night of a holiday celebration. Yes. All that work you put in.
Yes,
sure. I was talking to someone today about that, saying, oh, geez, you know, I would be just too scared to pick up a drink for all of the pain and effort and work that I've done on myself to get to where I am today.
Yeah.
One drink is not worth it.
I totally agree. I 100% agree. And that's, you know, alcohol scares me too much.
Yeah,
it frightens me, you know, because I know what I'm like. And
frightens you where you can, where it can take you. That's how I am.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it's the devil.
It is.
Well, it is in my body anyway.
I agree.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. But one of the other things you can do for when you're getting together is you can bring a friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you had to do that?
I have brought a friend. And in fact, you know, that's a really good thing that, you know, I told you that I basically was just ruining my personal life.
Yes.
And so once I got sober, I've been really straight up with everyone that I hurt. You know, I've been really, it's been a theme, you know, it's been, and I think, you know, my daughters, my ex, my partner, everyone's kind of sick of hearing it about it at this point, but I kind of make it for different reasons. I make it a point to bring it up for myself and especially for my daughters. I want to let them know about the danger of it, really. But the reason I bring that up is because, yes, you know, if you bring a friend, and that's why, especially a friend that knows about your past, knows about your alcohol problem, and then they can, you know, they're like an ally there. And just even having them there, just to that they know, you know, they'll just have your back, you know, and it's just a real...
Yeah, having your backs. It gives you that little extra strength, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It is. It's a big one. Yeah.
If you can't get out of a party or other get together, you know, bring a friend. Or your sponsor to accompany you.
Do you find too that you bring up those things with the close people that know where you're at? Because you're never going to not be an alcoholic.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a lifetime disease,
and we're just
lucky enough we found it.
Yes, I agree, and that's
or found out,
and that's why I want to, you know, that's why I keep bringing it up with these people that mean the most to me, because it is part of who I am, you know, and I want them to realize this is not something that's just over, you know, it's not something that's okay, the problem's fixed now, you know, it'll be a problem for the rest of my life.
Exactly. I think I might have mentioned to yourself or in a previous radio show, I remember after a year, my mum saying to me, are you still doing that?
Mm.
Haven't you done all of that yet?
Yeah.
It's sort of saying, oh, no, this is me for life.
Yeah.
This is the medicine I need to continue with getting through life.
Speaking of moms, can I tell you a funny little story?
Oh, please do.
My mom's coming to visit from the States.
Yes.
Yeah, she's coming for a month, and my daughters and I and my ex and my mom get along really well. So my ex is really looking forward to my mom coming. But anyway, my mom was like really stressed out, and she called me just last weekend, and she was like, oh, well, you know, because I've been real straight up with my mom as well about my journey and everything. And she's like, oh, well, you know, I'm a little bit worried about coming because, you know, I just don't want to, I'm planning on drinking at your place. And I'm like, she goes, is that going to be okay? I said, well, I don't care. You know, you do what you need to do. I'm going to I'm in a place that's, you know, I can be around you if you're drinking. It doesn't, because my partner drinks, you know, she drinks very modestly. She's, you know, but I, it doesn't bother me. And even she'll like sit there and apologize when, if she's drinking a glass of wine and, you know, I give her a kiss and she'll apologize because she smells like wine, and tastes like wine.
Oh, what a lovely person.
But yeah, like, my mom was, I guess the point I'm trying to make was it felt good. It was like, I felt like my mom had my back, you know, and,
yeah.
And like talking about it because she, you know, yeah.
It's true. They do think about that. I remember when my best friend had her 50th. Mm-hmm. Well, she had two. One for me. Where it was just her and I hanging out, going away to this holiday house and just having a great girl's time. And then she had a party go away thing too, where all the rest of our crowd that used to get together went and literally danced all night and drank all night and jumped in and out of the spa pool and had a great time.
Did you miss that one or did you go to that?
I did not go to that because she did not invite me to that.
Right.
Worried about how I would react and also whether it would put the others off. So I had to turn around to her afterwards and say, you know, I still drink. I just drink something different than you guys, but I can still party. Yeah. I can still dance. I can still have a good time.
So I was going to ask, how did that make you feel that you weren't invited to that? Did you wish you had been invited or did you think it was a nice thing that she didn't?
No, I thought she did it out of love. So I, you know, that was fine. I understood that. It just told me that I needed to have more of a conversation with her to let her know that it was okay and it wouldn't trigger me and it wouldn't make me pick up a drink. Yeah. So and it just meant I just, needed to have a more forthright conversation, which we've had.
And it also means that she cares about you. It's the nice thing that,
absolutely,
you know, to show that how much she cares and she's thinking about you. You
literally know? Done out of love, you know. Totally. So it was a beautiful thing that she organized, that we did it separately.
Yeah,
so
that's really cool.
Yeah, I didn't hold any resentment or remorse about it. But it would have been fun, but it would have been a challenge.
Oh, yeah.
But a challenge that I would have, like, personally, I would have got through.
Yeah, totally.
But, you know, when some people, they can't, she lives in a different town, so we travel to each other every now and then. It's not like we're together all the time. Yeah. So she's not seeing how I deal with those situations. Right. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Do you find when you're around, like, really drunk people, does it make you want to drink more, or does it put you off?
Oh, gosh, no.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
It's a good eye-opener for me because I go,
I know.
Oh, my gosh, was I like that? Oh, I was a shocker. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's literally like you could put some money in front of me and light it on fire, and I'll go, what a waste that was. What a waste.
I feel the same.
Yeah.
I feel the same.
And it gives me incredible gratefulness, too, for where I am now.
I know. I totally agree. Because I see stuff that I would have done and then worse.
Yes.
And then I'm like, wow. You know.
This huge relief in
huge
being
relief.
Sober.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not having to, I mean, part of my journey in sobriety has been discovering that I am enough and I am okay and I don't need to add anything to myself to become someone that everybody likes.
Right.
I now have the people around me that do like me.
Yeah.
You know, the hangers-on and all those people that I thought I had to impress, they're not in my life anymore because it turned out they were just drinking buddies.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a really good point, though, and it ties in with what we're talking about with, like, coping mechanisms over the holidays, and that's one of the things, and ties in with what you're saying about not going to every single party because you feel like you have to, you know. You're making the choices of who you want to be with and you know, go for quality over quantity. And,
absolutely, you know? Absolutely. I think that's – well, that's, I know I do that now. Do you find you do that?
Totally.
Yeah.
There's quite a few people I just do not associate with anymore, to be honest. You know?
And they possibly don't miss you because they didn't even notice you. And I don't mean that in a horrible way.
No, I think they don't miss me because I was pretty horrible a lot of the time, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And so it's probably like, thank goodness he's not around, you know, sort of thing. That was, you know, my personal friends. But, you know, like you say, a lot of them were – I don't even know if I'd go so far as to call them friends anymore. They were sort of drinking buddies, you know, and they were, and I didn't think of it at the time. That's not the way I viewed them. I just viewed them as my friends. But in hindsight, and now that I look and say, well, what do I have in common? And that's why I don't see him anymore, because there's nothing else to, that well, brings us together.
This is it. One of the things of sobriety certainly solidifies the meaning of friendship and the special people around you and who you want to spend time with, and the fact that you have choices to be with them or not.
Yes.
That's another really big one. So, okay, we've talked about bring a friend, you know, extra support. Yes. Be honest with those people. I think it's really, really important.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. I am going to put on some music because we've been chatting away, but have a listen to this. I've gone for a bit of old Kiwi Dee Dee Smash. Get into it. We do some magic, don't we? We are magic. We do the magic of sobriety. We were just talking about having to have an exit strategy and, you know, some of those things that we can lie about.
I think it ties in with having that pre-planned response. It's all the same kind of idea, but you're having a pre-planned response to get out of there if necessary, you know?
Yeah, well, I actually had to use one recently for somebody who rang me who was at an outing, and I was like, yeah, go with the period pain. Go with the friend that's rung up and urgently needs you. And, you know, but, it doesn't have to be all of that, does it? I mean, there's always the babysitter.
But it's good to have, I mean, the problem is, I think, just whatever it's going to be, whatever, you know, is just something that you have in your head before it comes up. Because when something comes up, then it's really tough to, you know, to come up with it on the spot. And then
absolutely. Yeah. We were talking actually just recently about how reaching out to somebody when you're having a hard time, if it's becoming a stressful time or, you know, you think, oh gosh, I'm going to pick up. We've all been there, and to make sure you just go to the bathroom and text somebody who you know is sober or who's been, you know, you see as a strength or something, get those phone numbers. And someone else was talking about how it's amazing in their life right now that they've realized through their sobriety that if something isn't going well for them, they can actually just get up and walk away. Mm. Now, how's that for a concept? Mm. I know that just sounds so simple, but as an alcoholic, when I was active, the idea of getting up and walking away didn't even come into my head.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we're able to walk away.
Yeah. But it's easier said than done sometimes.
Sometimes,
you know? Yeah. You know, when you're...
Especially when you're inebriated.
When you're inebriated, I mean, sometimes you want that friction, you know, and when you're sober, you don't really want that friction as much.
It's <You know? laughs> so true.
I speak for myself, but I don't want the friction. So it is easier. I'd rather just get away from it. And I agree with you. Totally.
Yeah. I was actually listening to Dax Shepherd's podcast the other day, and someone was on there talking about, because when he was drinking, he was always getting into fights and things like that. And of course, he's not now, but someone was sharing how there'd been this fight, and he was like, oh, how big was the bat? Oh, I would have got in there. Oh, that sounds like it would have been good fun, because that was what he grew up with. That was what his journey was, that fighting and living dangerous hard.
Yeah.
But, not my thing. I have to say, I didn't get into too many fights when I was drinking.
I got into fights that were not physical fights. I got into a lot of, I was nasty. I was just nasty. I was just a jerk. You know?
I was a debater. Well, that's what I used to put it under. Nowadays, I look at it and I
think.
Would
you still say that, debater?
No. Yes, yeah. I would. Only because it was always with one other particular person who also liked to debate, who I also think was an alcoholic, but I'm not sure whether they've discovered that about themselves.
Right.
It's only when you sit back in sobriety and look back at your life and what actions you've taken.
Yeah.
That you can recognize it maybe in someone else.
It's always a tricky one, though, you know, because everyone's journey is different, and it's hard to say. You can look at someone and who was it that told me that the only person you can ever call an alcoholic is yourself? And sometimes I agree, but sometimes I just look at people, I'm like, man, surely.
Oh, well, you wouldn't say it. You might recognize it, but you certainly wouldn't go up to them, would you? That, you know that.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess what I'm saying is just, it's a lot more personal, you know, and someone that someone may drink a lot, and maybe it's hard for me to picture the scenario, but they may drink a lot and not have a problem with it. You know what I mean? But that's not me.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I can address is that, for myself, that's not the way I am.
Yeah. Well, there's so many different things that you can have. Now, guys, you are listening to the AA Live show in association with our friends from Otago Access Radio on 105.4 FM. Now, continuing on with a few of our tips for staying sober during the Christmas, New Year's silly season, I suppose one of the big ones is know what your triggers are. Now, I've got a few people in my family that can trigger me.
People, yeah, fair enough. I got those too.
Yeah, and I'm aware of those.
Yeah.
And guess what? Now I get up and I walk away.
Everything's coming around full circle with this conversation. I tell you, that's right. That's the best way to deal with it. As soon as you know that it is your trigger, you know?
Absolutely.
Avoid that trigger.
And even, I do find the insanity of drinking. This is when the insanity of drinking comes up for me, that I felt that I had to keep sitting within this person's company and tolerating it and putting up with it and getting, making me feel smaller in this world every time.
Yeah.
And,
just
why did I do that?
Glutton for punishment?
Yeah, glutton for punishment, possibly. And
I know. I mean, it is, you just sort of, you live life differently, and I think the way you described it is perfect, the insanity of it. We've had this conversation before about the insanity of alcohol, and there's really no other way to, you can't explain it away in a logical way. It's just, it makes you behave.
It is insanity. Yeah,
you're insane. I remember being insane. I remember nothing made sense about what I was doing, but I was still doing it.
Yeah.
And it was just purely, and I knew if I sat there and thought about it, and the next day when I thought about it, oh my God, I knew I shouldn't have been doing it, but
I still did it. And the weird thing is that the next day you got up and you said, now where's my next drink? And you did it all over again.
Or I said, I'm never drinking again. And then that night I was drinking again.
Well, that's just the, yes.
And that's more insanity.
That's the thing. I would wake up every morning and go, gosh, I am not going to do that tonight.
Yeah.
I am not going to do that today. And then by midday, I'd start to feel a little bit better.
Right. That's right.
And I'd go, right, hurry up. Time, I need a drink.
Yes, that is it.
Yeah.
As soon as it starts,
and there's the insanity.
Over that. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly it.
And we're all out there doing it. I mean, even for those that don't even realize, it becomes a pretty insane pattern. It was one that stood out in my story hugely.
Yes.
But I didn't spot it.
A pattern. That's a good way to describe it as well. It's just it's a repeating. It's like Groundhog's Day, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. The other one was that HALT. Have you heard them talk about HALT before in the recovery rooms?
HALT, no.
H-A-L-T, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired.
Yes, I have heard that, actually. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, I have heard that before.
Yeah, and I know, I get hungry and angry. My son calls it hangry.
Yeah, that's right.
And he recognizes it in himself as well. So, when you think that's what might be what is happening for yourself, you know to step up and walk away. It's a good thing to know your triggers.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think that's one of the things that comes with sobriety is the awareness, at least. You know, like you say, that he knows it when he's hangry, and just as soon as you know, your triggers and that's the difference. I didn't know, I just couldn't recognize a lot of stuff that I was doing at the time and sort of like being coherent enough to change my behavior.
We didn't have enough time to be sober.
Yeah.
To do it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So it's the knowing, it's the awareness, I think is a key, is one of the great benefits of sobriety is like the self-awareness,
Yeah, I have to agree. Self-awareness on how you talk to people, who you talk to, you put yourself, where you don't want to put yourself.
That's right. And it all comes into what we're talking about. This is all stuff to be thinking about it beforehand. Don't go to that party without, think about it before you go to the party, not at the party. Think
exactly.
about it before you go have your family dinner or your work's due or whatever, Have a plan. Whatever the plan is, have your plan before.
Yeah. Pre-plan. And that's another thing, that looking up your meetings in the area. Mm. Maybe you're traveling. We're staying home this year, which I'm actually looking forward to. But you know, I know what my meetings are going to be through that time.
Yeah.
But if you're traveling out of town, you can jump on that aa.org.nz site and look up those meetings and put them in, like, you know, oh, I'm going to go and play a game of golf, or I'm going to go mini putting, or I'm going to go swimming down the beach, and I'm going to go for a meeting at this time. You know, just add it into your daily holiday schedule.
On that note, I just want to put a shout out to this app. There's an app that you can get called, what is it called? Meeting Guide.
Yeah, that's the one. That takes you to the aa.org.nz site.
All the,
it kind the of, little it, blue, the little chair.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at it right now on my phone. But yeah, wherever you are, the phone knows where it is. So it just tells you where the meetings are that are around you, you know?
Exactly. And
it's
also
quite a good resource.
Yeah, there's always jumping on ORFM and listening to our podcast from past and present. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Or there's also a 24-hour meeting in New Zealand. That kicked off during COVID and it's still going.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, I've got
Zoom. People are just zooming.
Zooming, yeah.
Really?
I've got a few friends that do it at the moment who work shift work. So it works for them. So, yeah. But
interesting.
There's all sorts that we can do. All sorts.
I'd never heard of that 24-hour meeting. That sounds cool. So anyone can just, like, you just log in and then log out and...
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I knew about Zoom meetings, but I didn't know about the 24-hour.
Where have you been?
Under a rock, apparently.
Well, at least no moss grows on it anymore like it used to, eh? Like, I just wanted to say these things. It's, whether you're an alcoholic, or it's not determined by where you drink, or when you started drinking, how long you've been drinking, with whom you drink, or what, or even how much. Look, the true test is the answer to this question: what has alcohol done to you? Now, through some of our chat tonight, you would have heard what it's done to us.
Yeah.
But, you know, has it affected your relationships with family and friends and former work colleagues or your current ones? You know, even tonight we've discussed how that has changed for us now. Has it influenced the way you schedule your days? Definitely. We talked about that. You know, you're waking up every day. Oh, I don't want to drink today. By midday, you're feeling better. Yeah. I'm going to drink.
Yeah.
You know, that might be a call out there. Has it affected your health? As you know, it'd be like me with the old fatty liver and all those sorts of things. And the doctor saying to me, so how much do you drink? And me saying, oh, just a glass or two. And there was no way I was telling her they were 1 liter glasses. So, yeah, it's like, yeah. And maybe it determines or affects your moods when you're not drinking, or in your state of mind. You might be preoccupied with alcohol. That's another one, you know, but like we were discussing, when can I get it? When can I, you know, when's that first drink? You know, there's a likelihood there that you may have an issue with drinking. Now, that sort of info is in one of our pamphlets, and they're pretty serious questions. You know, sometimes our behaviour around Christmas and New Year and the work functions and the holiday season, you know, it'll bring them up. So I distinctly just then saw sitting outside a tent at 10 o'clock in the morning having a drink because it was a holiday. Why wouldn't we? The kids are over in the playground or the campground. Why can't we? It's a holiday season. Right. I got to tell you, that's not normal. Not that I go by normal, but, you know, if you're questioning yourself, come to a meeting. Honestly, look up aa.org.nz and head to one. You know, just drop in. You'll find the people in there. They're very welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
They're friendly.
Yeah.
They're honest people. And they've all pretty much asked themselves the same question.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Everyone in there has been there.
Yeah, everyone's been there. I can only say for myself, but I asked myself these questions for years, decades. And I didn't do anything about it until I was almost in the fifth decade. So, you know, don't be scared. Come and have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, listen to the stories, listen for the similarities. You might find the answer to that question, and you know, you might find the support you need to be able to take that journey and help yourself. Now, I would like to talk a little bit about the helplines and so forth. We've got an 0800 AA Works. Now, you'll get an alcoholic on the end of that. 229 6757. That's 0800 at the front. 0800 229 6757. Jump on the AA.org website. Come and, you know, come to a meeting if you feel like it.
Yeah.
We are going to finish with a song this evening that has been chosen by my wonderful co-host. Thank you for choosing. He has such a great array of music I do enjoy. I hope you folks have all enjoyed it out there tonight. We love our listeners. We're very grateful that you're out there and helping us continue with our journey, because that's what you do. Ka kite. Everybody, Matiwa, everyone, have a good one. I'd like to wish a Merry Christmas to my family and friends that may be out there listening. I hope you have a wonderful new year. Did you want to say something to yours as well?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing you, Mom.
Nice.
Have a safe trip.
That's wonderful. I'm so pleased for you. That's just such a wonderful thing.
Thanks, family.
And I hope she enjoys a cold gin and tonic in the warm of the sun, because would she normally be in the snow at this time of year?
Yes, she would.
Well,
yes, she
would. Get out. She's going to be wearing some flip-flops and putting her feet in the sea.
I know. She's really excited.
Oh, I bet. That's wonderful. And are you going to do a barbecue, or are you going to do the standard sort of?
We're going to do it all. We're going to do it all. We're going to have a week in Wanaka, and then we're going to do day trips to the Catlins.
Ah, lovely.
We want to go down to Invercargill and up to Christchurch.
Oh, you're going to Kmart in Invercargill?
Everyone, why has everyone asked that? Of course we're going to go to Kmart. What a silly question.
Oh, look, she's going to have a wonderful time. I'm so glad that she's coming and seeing the sun at Christmas.
Yeah,
that's going to be wonderful.
That'll be good.
Hey, everybody, enjoy your Christmas. Happy New Year, and we'll see you in the new year. Stay safe out there.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.